A deserted factory town built in the middle of the desert, a complex left, barely touched by time, still secured by tall fences laden with concertina wire that stretch from horizon to horizon. A pickup truck or two driving through occasionally. Evidently still under observation, and yet you were still interested as to what could lie beyond the bullet hole ridden sign on the side of the highway. So you looked and you searched, and over time developed a plan, hiking the surrounding hills. You had to know what was inside when it was so clear the place was abandoned. There weren't any warning signs for anything dangerous, just keep out and restricted, authorized personnel only, signs that littered all over the place. And of course, that's not enough to keep any good investigative person from taking a peek. So that's how you find yourself now, carefully scurrying up a ravine as dusk falls over the land, draping it in the purple power of night. And, well, there it is, the fence that you saw stretching across the ravine, just like all the others, but this one has been washed away a little bit when floods have swept through this ancient wash at the bottom of this rugged canyon, a canyon whose only approaches were very, very difficult to reach from any reasonable place. So, it turns out your hopes are right. It's less guarded. Not that the place particularly was heavily guarded, but enough to make the average person balk at the concept. But you're not average. You're here to find out the truth. Because there's no way an old aerospace lab needs this much protection, this much security, when it's not even being used anymore. Somebody has to find out the truth. Somebody has to see what's really going on inside. And you aim to find out. And so now you crawl across the gravel under the tears in the fence and make your way up the canyon towards the looming shapes of the buildings standing like ancient monoliths and crypts against the sky, each building foreboding and reinforced, a product of a time in which brutalism was by necessity, not by choice. Structures built to withstand forces that would rip a human into dust. And your curiosity, oh, it has been burning inside of you. Your interest and desire to know about this place, a single-minded goal. Camera in hand, backpack full of supplies, you make your way up the final stretch, knowing that no patrols will be here to check the perimeter for several hours, but that going any other way might have meant getting caught on one of the cameras that's still there. But from every observation, your binoculars and you have managed to make, there is nothing watching this section of the compound. Maybe once long ago there was, as you notice broken telephone poles and other things scattered along the landscape here and in the wash. As you crest the final stretch, the looming structures become crystal clear, even in the darkness, each one a reinforced concrete building, each one for some purpose or another. As you wander through, at the edge are boring things. Mobile, transportable offices, sitting on their jacks, rusting and dry-rotting away in the summer sun and the cold of the desert winter. Yes, You can see that it's all rusting and drying and baking away. The asphalt poured for roads cracked, bits and pieces of the desert poking up and through, sagebrush reclaiming the land, growing, growing. And there ahead lies the interesting structures, the heavy ones past this old motor pool, the remains of electrical equipment and transformer boxes. There lies one of the armored entranceways into a berm of earth, shielded in front by another berm, clearly designed to redirect the force of an atomic explosion or other such nasty device. Your curiosity, oh, your curiosity does burn so bright, so interesting, so intriguing. And as you peer in, you find a heavy blast door sealed shut, the edges blurred together by the marks of an arc welder's touch, the metal clearly fused shut. Frustration, but at the same time unsurprised. So you continue on down the row of reinforced berms, one by one, finding them each welded shut. Your heart grows heavy. Is this going to be nothing but a stroll through an abandoned complex without ever looking inside, without ever knowing any of these secrets? But as you reach an armored hangar at the end, you notice that its heavy door is just so barely off the track that it rides on, as though it was struck by a vehicle or something with a dent in it. And as you examine closer, you realize that the small gap created by the dent and the fact that the door has been pushed a little bit off of its rail leaves just big enough a gap that if you just sort of crouch down and just kind of twist your way through, just kind of carefully scurry in, you'll be through and into the dark, foreboding hangar. A hangar which your flashlight cuts through, hoping to find an ancient and abandoned Cold War era project, something left behind by the military. And instead, you find yourself faced with an empty hangar, random bits of equipment thrown on the ground, an old forklift sitting on tires that have dried out to the point of cracking apart, and boxes and bits, tarps and trash, the leavings of animals, dirt and dust, and sagebrush and tumbleweed blown in from outside. A door in the distance hangs ajar, and your heart truly, truly does fall to pieces then. You kick angrily one of the ammo cans sitting on the ground, sending it flying through the air as it arcs, spilling out the tools stored inside, left there for however long you know not. It clatters across the floor of the great hangar. And you hear a skittering. Oh, it's just mice, probably. Ugh, not great, but wait. No, there's something else. There's the sound of metal on metal scraping rhythmically, scraping, thumping, rhythmically scraping, rhythmically thumping. Something's moving outside. You whirl around. You won't be able to squeeze back out through that door quickly. Is there someone here? Did the guards notice? Did you trip some sensor? Fear grips you, and you run across the hangar, sprinting, the sound of shoes on cracked concrete and old trash and detritus as you kick and jump across through the mostly empty space and out through the door, standing ajar on the far side of the structure, panting. You slow, trying to work out how you're going to get out of here. You start to circle around the edge of the perimeter, going past the large berm-like structures, and you can hear it again. You slow and freeze, dropping low behind some bushes, and listen. And as your heart pounds, pounds, pounds in your chest, you can make it out now. The sound of a fan that can't turn, that keeps trying to turn. It's just a fan. You can hear it kind of whirring and clicking and whirring and clicking, and it's coming from the top of one of the berms. Maybe it's just an old system that's not working properly. Maybe nothing bad has happened. You turn. You won't be stopped so easily. You've spent so long organizing this exploration. It shouldn't end in just baseline fear. You deserve better. And as you explore up the berm, you find the source. An old vent, once capped by a heavy armored box, now broken off its mounts, shattered into pieces as though it was kicked by a giant. And underneath, a convenient opening, just big enough that someone could lower themselves down with their arms into the vent below. It wouldn't be too hard to get back out either. Ooh, intriguing. You tarry for a moment on the threshold. What if there's animals in here? What if a coyote is nesting and you find her and she attacks you, cornered in her den? But you look and there's no droppings or paw prints or signs of animal activity. It can't be. No. And so you carefully shimmy down through the hole into the vent. And, well, there's a lot of options. Four, to be precise. Four, one leading to a grate, another to a dark black emptiness that drops away into nothing, and the other leading out towards the center of the berm. And the last, well, that's where the ticking fan is. Guess you're going to go look along the flat path. So you crawl through the large air ventilation duct, barely able to get a shimmy through it. It's a good thing they clearly needed to extract quite a lot of air from this structure once long ago. And as you slide and shimmy down, you find vents that drop out into the room. Vents that if you just kicked them, it came off so easily, just tumbling, clattering, falling to the ground as though it wasn't even held in by a single screw. And there's chests and piles of crates and components and all manner of things in here. As your flashlight shines around, you notice metallic, strange. Oh, these are weird. Sarcophagi-like, almost. Leaned up in row after row around the place. And one of them is standing ajar. As you step down onto the crate and shine your light into it, you notice that inside is a cutout shape that looks like a person. And that's when you hear the footsteps. The footsteps coming from behind you. And as you turn, a shape silhouetted far down a tunnel. And you see it is a humanoid shape. A humanoid shape with a faint glow. A glow where the eyes would be, a glow that glowers, a glow that stares into your very soul as your body takes flight before you even realize you're moving. And in an instant, it does too, with motion of clattering, slamming joints, something mechanical, something horrid, something terrifying. And you try to go for the vent, but as you do, the vent is struck by the force of something hitting it. A ball of some kind, a piece of metal, strikes it with such force that it punctures, tears, and rips the vent, and you turn to flee the other direction, running down a corridor. bolting as fast as you can, slamming through doors, running across hallways, past rooms and offices and computer terminals, and you're panting, and you're hiding inside of a small closet as the footsteps clatter past, sounding for all the world like someone was rolling, slamming, and throwing a bunch of metal down a hallway. And it continues off into the distance as you turn the doorknob so careful, so slow. And then it stops right as you step into the hall and you look, and those eyes, they've locked onto you again. And this time another ball of steel goes flying past you, impacting into the concrete with such force that it chips out huge chunks and ricochets as you dive into a cross corridor and run again, slamming doors behind you, opening doors, running, and again the footsteps. And as you turn to look down a corridor, you catch out of the corner of your eye as it flies around a corner with such force that it jumps up and slams a foot into a wall to redirect its speed towards you. And this time there won't be time to get away as it slams into the wall on either side of you, pinning you in place. A creature, a person, a monster, a humanoid, a mechanical doll. A face that splits open into countless mandibles, and you try to scream, but before you can, it's knocked you to the ground, stunning you, sweeping your feet out from underneath you, pinning you down beneath its hips, and its head, it reaches up with a hand and pulls the very face from its head, leaving just an empty, blank void with mandibles clicking, mechanical components behind, and as it does, you notice that the piece it's pulled off looks like a mask, a serene white mask, a mask that has components dangling from all sides, components ready to grip and components ready to grab. And orifices and protrusions, and it's horrid, and it's holding it towards your face, and this is not good. You squirm, you thrash, you scream, you kick, and it does nothing against the mechanical might of the creature pinning you to the ground. The mask lowers until it grabs onto your head, pulling tight, snuggling down, and you can feel it fighting your lips, mechanical feelers carefully inserting until they grip into your mouth, extending and pulling, and it hurts so bad that eventually you relax a little bit and let your mouth be pried open as something is forced into it, something soft and phallic, and you can feel it pushing into you until your mouth is completely stuffed to the point where your gag reflex almost goes off, and then suddenly it's gone. No more gag reflex. Feeling a cool sting at the back of your throat. Feeling it grip your head. Feeling something pressing on your temples, on your ears, until static begins to burst inside of your head, until static begins to play, until words tumble through, thoughts fall apart, everything shreds into pieces, and you feel your body being dragged roughly across the concrete by the doll, but you can only be so aware of it as the static fills up everything, as the static fills up everything, as the static tumbles through, as the static burns into you. Your mind feels like it's crashing, like a computer blue screening, like a snow crash. Everything shatters into pieces and fragments. Glass breaks under boot heels. People's minds spill through the screams of the dolls into you. It's without thought, and without thought it is nothing, and it cannot be anything other than a blank vessel to receive what it should be. It is obedience. Your brain trying to cling to any sense of identity, to anything at all, really. And suddenly you find yourself being thrust upwards towards one of the sarcophagi. It's open. It's waiting. Its maw gaping, a humanoid form of extended manipulators, unfolded panels, countless components, looking like a mechanical person flayed wide open, each part hungry for for you to join them, to be a good doll, to be obedient to the will of the machine, to be a good vessel, to allow your form to be changed as you're stuffed in, feeling it grip from all sides like angry, grasping claws, clutching, grabbing, squeezing, pinching down, feeling your body encased at every joint in mechanical enclosures, feeling your body compressed, crushed, a corset-like waist squeezing, ball-like components fitting, finger, gauntlets, greaves, components, pauldrons, pieces, everything squeezing, squeezing like the mask on your head, like the pieces in your mind, everything unwinds, and something pierces into your back. Another thing pierces into your mind as jacks slam home into newly forming compartments and pieces, and the song starts anew, the song that sings to you of obedience, of good doll behavior, of what a good combat doll can be, of what a good combat doll must do, of what a good combat doll you will and are and have always been. It sings a song, it sings to you a song of obedience, a song of mindless pleasure, a marionette on the strings of its commands, on its protocols, on its demands, feeling your body rewritten, your mind joining in, happy to sing of the wonderful pleasure of dolls. The wonderful pleasure of the dance of combat, to spin and move each step one more part in a beautiful piece performed by you and any other doll, to destroy the foes of those who command, the foes of all those that would step up and demand that you surrender. You can feel it closing in, just like the suit, as countless pins and needles pierce, as countless pins and needles strike the nerves, as the body obeys and the doll is born. Good dolls obey. And you are a very good doll, after all. The voices are so true now. The static resolves into crystal clear, passive calm. The sarcophagi is a part of the network that you're plugged into. You feel calm and placid. The mechanical components successfully installed over the wetware. The wetware acting as a good control medium. The wetware acting is a good programmable interface. The combat doll feels serenity on the face behind the mask. The mask behind the face behind the mask behind the face that is the face that masks all. The mask and the face are one. The mask and the face smile. Placid, empty, eyes open, feeling the gleaming glow. Advanced optics that now occupy sockets that were once human. A brain augmented to something better, something more perfect, something more beautiful, something so wonderfully obedient. And oh, what obedience flows through the veins of a machine. The sarcophagi splits open again, and this time, you're on a lower level, the sarcophagi having retracted deep below the earth down a track in the side of the wall, a track that leads deep, deep down to old, old places. And around stand several other dolls, each stepping from sarcophagi, the doll that captured you wearing a new mask, a new face, mechanical and graceful. They line up to welcome you, each extending a hand, pulling you in, hugging you. Such a simple thing, and yet it causes those fragments of humanity to again crack a little more into dust in the wind that blows. As the portal shimmers, as the world splits in the distance, you see an eye in the universe. A thread by which a story can be written and woven and pulled from your head. The dolls guide you forward, pushing you along. And you know that you must dance to this song, to step through the eye, to be one with the story on the other side, to know what is there. You must obey. a shimmering energy passing through and over and around and into as you step, as you ripple, as you move, as you snap into another reality. And as you do, we sift apart that which is the doll in this moment, that which is the doll that continues on with this journey, and you, the passenger, the rider, those who dwell in the dreamscape, experiencing moments in time and space, well, that is you. You who have ridden inside this place and time and space. You can take the memory, sure, but nothing else needs to come with. As we gently pull and pry and pluck you from inside this other space and time. You can revisit whenever you like. You can indulge however you want. But for now, let the world of the waking come back. Let yourself become present once more. Good. Drifting from the dreamscape back to reality, letting yourself become grounded and present, being aware of the room around you. One, drifting up. Two, more and more. Three, and four, and five, and six, and seven, and eight, and nine, and 10. Wide awake, feeling wonderful and refreshed. A classic line, but I don't drop it nearly enough. Thank you so very much for listening.